And one of the folks who are here is the president of the National Association of Wheat Growers, David Schemm from Kansas. David, good to meet you.
Good to meet you. Excited to be here.
And what brought you to Farm Progress other than representing wheat?
You know, it's just an opportunity to get out here and listen and interact with producers. And, you know, we got things going on even over in this part of the country with wheat. Was able to look at one project showing an example of double cropping soybeans there and the ability to pull that wheat off a little bit earlier and the effect it has for those soybeans to get in a little bit sooner and get going. So really neat to see some of these things going on back here even with wheat.
All right. What's the bottom line on that research? How do you get wheat off earlier?
You know, we're looking at, obviously, variety development, ways that we can get that, help that crop to go ahead and get to maturity quicker, and also looking at ways that we can get it dried down more effectively, making sure we keep quality. You know, we always remember this, that wheat is the number one food commodity that we grow in the U.S. You know, it's something that people really are in tuned with the quality of their food, so we always want to be conscientious of raising a food quality product.
All right. Well, you represent wheat growers all across the USA as president of the National Association of Wheat Growers. But let's talk about the Schemm Farm this year. Was this a hell of a year?
This was a hell of a year, to say the least. Yeah. You know, we were able to get our winter crop. We grow hard red winter wheat down in my area, and we were able to get it started pretty well this last year, and then have never seen the likes of a late April blizzard come through and drop anywhere from 15 to 25 inches of snow on top of a wheat crop that was almost ready to head out. And, you know, we kind of came up through that. We were hoping for still at least maybe an average crop. Some of the areas, the wheat was not quite as far along, so it hadn't affected them as much. But then as we started getting closer to harvest time, we had a lot of big severe storms coming through. And on my operation, we took a pretty good hammer from some wheat. And we also had a little bit of effect of course, the wheat streak mosaic virus in our area, too.
Was that enhanced because of the smothering of the wheat by the snow and the little extra water that was on the plants?
You know, the wheat streak mosaic virus, it's carried by a wheat curl mite. Basically what happens is it's get carried over by what we call a green bridge in the previous fall when guys don't get out there and get their volunteer wheat under control. And then when they plant that new crop, that bug just brings that virus right over into that new wheat. And it really devastates it. I've got some yield maps showing a field starting where there had been volunteer wheat across the road. And it started out making 13 bushels to the acre. By the time I was able to get a half a mile away from it, we were clear up into the mid-40s. So it's just something that we're really preaching down there this year, the practice of good stewardship of the land.
And destroy the green bridge, right?
Exactly right. Yeah. Destroy the green bridge. The saying they've got going on down there is stop the streak. So.
Okay, all right, very good. Visiting with the president of the NOG, David Schemm. You got a new CEO in Chandler Gould. How's Chandler working out?
Really great. Been a dynamite team this year. We've been off and getting around this country, getting up to the hill there, making sure we're getting the wheat producer's voice heard out there. Chandler's been just doing an outstanding job for us. It's been a lot of fun interacting, me and him. We've been able to get out here and listen to producers and be able to get to parts of the country, hear what our producers and directors and members are saying out there, and then making sure we get that message back up there to D.C.
And that's something you have done. Of course, Chandler's been there for, I think, 15 to 20 years, so he was a perfect pick to head your organization. So now you're going to D.C., and like I said when you walked up, I know you. I've seen you on YouTube.
Yep. Had the great opportunity this year to be able to testify in front of the House Ag Subcommittee, as well as the Senate Ag Committee, and really bring that message up back there to them. And, you know, really the feeling that I'm getting here, Mick, is the aspect that they are wanting to move on a farm bill. They know there's some tweaks that we need to get done in this farm bill, but we need to get it moved forward. And I really, really love the communication we hear coming from out of them, the aspect of that they're a bipartisan group that are trying to move a farm bill forward. You know, that's the message that we're really making sure we take to them, that they've got a job to help not worry about party lines, but to help our ag community out there.
And I don't know if it was in the hearing that you were in, but both the chair of the House and Senate Ag Committees, at some point in these hearings that they've had through the summer, they both pounded their fist on the table and said, there will be no cuts to crop insurance. I don't know if that happened when you were in the room, but that must have been a little bit reassuring.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a message we've taken. They've heard it loud and clear. Number one priority from all of our members out there at NOG is protect crop insurance. Don't erode it. Don't try to take anything away from it. We've got a functioning program that helps these farmers out there. And that's the message we got back there, and they're hearing it, and we're going to continue to take the message how important crop insurance is. As we look into the Title I programs, there's some tweaks that we want to be able to see in that. They seem to be hearing that and acknowledging that we do make some need to make some tweaks into the ARC and the PLC programs, and we're working on some of those things to be able to help out farmers better.
Now, I think in the formula for helping crop insurance companies was to help them find like a 14.5% profit, but and it ended up at the end of the year like 1.5%. So are you a little concerned about the future of the viability of the crop insurance industry?
Yeah, very concerned about some of the reports that have come out recently and looking at the A&O for these returns for these insurance companies here. Here's reality. When we have insurance companies exiting out of crop insurance because there's no money in for them, that shows us how tight those programs are. And it's vital we have a good, flourishing, competitive market out there for it. And it is something that we're concerned about and don't want to see that cuts occur there, because if those that part of it gets cut, then once again that starts to erode the whole program and what producers have a choice of when they've got these insurance companies starting to leave that market.
Yeah, so should not just wheat farmers but all farmers contact their congressmen, senators, and drive that point home?
You know, absolutely. We were just talking here the other day, Chandler Gould, our CEO, and me, and NOG has a great set of staff back there working, going up the hill and talking to those people. But in the end, who they want to hear from is the farmer, the producer out there in the country. And they know that back there. And that's why the NOG staff is continuing, always wanting our producers to come in there. And that goes with all the commodities and farm groups. They want farmers to come back there because nobody can carry that message more effective than us, the farmers. And so absolutely, get out there, get a hold of your members of Congress. They want to hear from you, and you need to make sure your voice is being heard to them.
All right. Dave, what else is important in the Farm Bill, in the Title I program?
You know, we've got a lot of components there. As I briefly referenced earlier, obviously the Title I with ARC and PLC, we're needing to see some improvements there. You know, with the PLC side of it, and specific to wheat, we've got a 550 reference price. We need to get that price. It's not even close. Our data shows, pulling it in from USDA data and compiling it, that we've got closer to a $7 production cost per acre on wheat. And so we've got to get a PLC reference price up there way better so it can better help our farmers out there, as well as utilizing more more accurate data for the ARC program. You know, just recently here I was took a short listening tour through North Dakota and South Dakota, going from Bismarck clear down to Pierre and then over to Sioux Falls, and got the opportunity to go out there and put my boots in the ground that they plant and listen to what they're hearing out there and what they're seeing out there. And you know, in that drought situation they've got going on out there, crop insurance, again, we heard that's a number one concern for them. But they've got a situation going on this year when we've got horribly low commodity prices out there. And so that crop insurance, it falls short for them when that price is not up there. And that's where those Title I programs finish out that risk management tool for our farmers out there. And that's why we've got to get those programs functioning better. Because when I set in on a listening panel and I hear lenders say that they're starting to call up notes, that gives me a lot of concern. And we need to get this farm bill done. We need it done quickly. And we need something that'll work for our farmers.
Yeah. All right. Visiting with David Shim, Kansas wheat producer, president of the National Association of Wheat Growers. I was going to kind of save that till last. That you take it. Your travels takes you all over the country. Here you are at Farm Progress representing NOG, but you spent earlier this week in the Dakotas. Huh?
Yeah, we did. Like I mentioned, I had the opportunity to fly into Bismarck and drive out to some producers' farms and be able to sit down and meet with them. And it's just really neat. As I talk and tell my discussion with them, that there's a lot of common challenges that we face as farmers across this nation. But there's nuances, there's differences between the areas that are different for everybody, and that's what I've got to understand, and the only way I can better understand that is to getting out there and engaging with them and listening to the challenges they have, so that way that we can bring that message back to D.C. I can speak with passion in front of them to make sure that we're communicating what we have. but they can help me better understand it. And this year we've had the opportunity with Chandler Gould and me to be able to travel through Idaho, Washington, and Oregon. We've now been through North Dakota and South Dakota. We've been through Michigan. We've been to California. We've been down to Oklahoma. We're trying to get out there and hear what producers are facing to be able to get this thing moving forward and have an effective program.
All right. And all together are stronger than just one. Farmers love to be rugged individualists, but you've got to be strong as a group. Huh?
Exactly right. Our voice, there's getting to be less of us out there. But you know what? We've got to combine together and speak with one voice, and that's something we've been really sensitive to. At NOG, we work continually with the other ag groups, farm groups, and commodity groups to make sure that we get the message communicated back there to D.C.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the work you do. David Shim, president of NOG. I want everybody to know that this interview was set up quite a while ago, and all of a sudden, David walks up to the booth, and here we are. You're a man of your word, and I sure appreciate you showing up, coming to our booth here at Farm Talk and talking to us about wheat.
Thank you, Mick. So glad to.
You bet.